Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also writes the Pre-Market Prep website that I will be linking below this interview. Now, Joel, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about this general weakness in the financial markets, a lot in the U.S. markets here. And to kick off this week, we had a pretty big down day when you take into consideration just how stable and steady the markets have been pretty much for this whole year. Now, the weakness this week times with all these central bank meetings, especially the Fed meeting, plus last week we had all these other factors like the quad witch that, you know, caused some havoc with these markets. But now that, let's say, the S&P is under the 50-day moving average, really picked up some steam on the downside with all that selling. What's your thought broadly here, Joel, on what's driving these markets and if it's actually time to get worried for investors on the stability of these markets?
Good afternoon, Corey. Thanks for having me. I think you had kind of like the perfect storm on Monday. The first factor being the quad witch expiration last week. Definitely the unwind was to the sell side. You saw a weakness in the market earlier in the week, but it came back. You know, it came back Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Friday was a little different story. You had the up opening. Well, not really an up opening, but, you know, try to get unchanged. And then you were just inundated with sellers. You could feel the wind unwind to the sell side. You take that into account, you close on the lows for the week, which doesn't happen very often, and you expect, you know, the follow through. You know, are we going to hold the low for the week and go lower, or hold the low and, you know, get a little pop, or are you going to get the continued weakness? And then you have the news coming out of China with Evergrande Realty, and that has a big impact on our market. The futures are open, the stocks are not open. And hey, if you have China's largest real estate firm either defaulting on their payments or going belly up, I mean, the market's not going to receive that well at all. So you had just had the perfect storm. The market had been down the prior week. People aren't used to that. You had the unwind, then you had the China news. Now, things got a little bit, they got a little bit ugly, but, you know, the buy the dippers came in on the close. And, brought us back to a reasonable level. The hype overnight, maybe a little bit overdone, getting some good volatility. But, here we are. And I like look at the things, you know, you can look at the overnight, you can look at the close-to-close basis. But, you know, when I look at where the market opened on Monday at 9:30 and where the market's open now, not a whole lot has changed. And, the market's holding on to the greens today. And so that's a good thing to see if we just have another one of those spike bottoms and then we go right back up to all-time highs.
Now, from a technical standpoint here, Joel, on a daily chart, the markets, the S&P is the most oversold it has been since last year. Isn't that telling us something about just how consistent and stable and actually boring these markets were?
One down month, and that was in January. Investors are spoiled brats, and to have the kind of moves and any kind of move to the downside, you know, should be welcome. That sets a foundation for the upside. From technicals, my quarterly numbers are still bullish, and they'll be based on the price action they have. We've had so far, they're gonna start out being bullish for Q4. My weekly numbers have turned. They turned last week at a level they couldn't hold. And this week, they're not holding the level of control that I've determined for this week. So, the dailies fluctuate, as far as what my point of control is. We have turned negative on the weekly. I don't think we've had enough downside action to turn negative on the quarterly. There's some way. I mean, 50-day, schmifty-day, whatever. Oh, if it doesn't hold the 50-day, it's going to the 100-day. I mean, to me, those are lagging indicators. I like, the price action, looking at it on a daily basis, open, high, low, and close, and then having my weekly and quarterly parameters. So, then, it's turned. You know, how long? Just another buy the dip opportunity. Well, what you're seeing today, very volatile session today. But yeah, that's what I'm looking at. 50-day, I don't even know where it's at.
Oh, the 50-day, the thing was, it was very strong support through the last over 6 months. Every time the market dropped down to 50-day, bounced back quickly. This is really the first time where we've had even a couple days below the 50-day. And we did get some selling yesterday, but again, there's so much going on this week. Let's talk about China and dive into the Evergrande issue, which really all the balls are in China's court right there in terms of, are they going to get bailed out? Are they going to go under? How important is it right now to be watching China and what's coming out of China for the overall stability of the U.S. markets, that whole contagion potential effect?
You don't want a long dissertation on this, but, there's definitely, and you saw how nervous the market was talking about the Cold War and everything, and, you know, what's going on with the U.S.-China relations. I mean, you can't say they've been heading in the right direction for quite some time now, starting with the trade war. Make what you want out of, the COVID virus. But they're not heading in the right direction. I don't know what Biden and the administration could do. They seem to be ruffling feathers with France and some other countries. So it's kind of a mixed bag because how does China make a lot of their money? You know, where's a lot of a huge reliance on the U.S. for their products, and we have a reliance on them to make the products. So, you know, this is a point where they just have to determine, you know, how far they want to push this, because it is going to have a negative impact on their country as well. You see what they're doing to the elite and the wealthy in their country, in this sector. So maybe they just look at the U.S. in the entire same way. But that's the question, man. That's the question that I'm not going to be able to answer, Corey. You're not going to be able to answer, Corey, but our kids will be able to answer. And, right now, all the indications are, they're not too happy with us.
Yeah, no, they are not. Let's also talk about, all the central bank meetings this week, 12 central bank meetings. All eyes are still on the Fed, but there is the expectation that, again, there's not going to be any change to policy. However, maybe a bit more forward guidance in terms of the next meeting in November is the start of the taper. Not a rate hike, but more of a taper here. Do you think that the market right now is just testing the Fed when we saw that kind of weakness early on a Fed meeting week? It's happened before, and, it's usually more important where the market closes this week post-Fed. But what are you going to be watching for out of the Fed this week?
Oh, the Fed, they're not data dependent. They're market dependent. You have some weakness and softness in the market. I've stuck to my guns on this. Transitory inflation, whatever, they loosen their stance a little bit. Maybe they'll stick with the same stance that they had before. But, once again, they're market dependent, and viewed on the weakness in the market, I don't see them. Maybe they'll get a little bit more hawkish, but I still think our economy coming out of the pandemic is in a precarious state. And, raising interest rates, even though we're at historically low levels, I don't think that's their top priority right now.
Okay, fair enough. Do you think anything's going to come out of that that's going to cause some market waves, longer-term market waves, or is it just a short-term volatility?
It will move up and down and all around, but, until they pull the trigger, and they say, hey, they raise, and they have ways to do raise rates, through their operations. But until you get like that definitive, like, yeah, we're going up now, we're going up in, who's calling for a September rate hike?
Nobody. Now
that could go by the wayside, right? No, some people were. Yeah, some, who was that one joker, that one Fed guy? I can't think of who it was. So, September, December, March, I don't know. I think it's going to be one interest rate hike is one thing, two interest rates hikes are another, three is another, four is another. And, still, what will we be at, 2% of even after all those raises? So, and also, where are you going to put your money? Corey, are you going to pull your money out of the stock market and put it in T-bills if the Fed makes a move? No, you're not. Still, over the long run, the best place to be invested is in the equity markets, at least the U.S. equity markets. And It's going to take a lot of successive interest rate hikes in a row to break that mindset.
Yeah, well, to your point, Joel, but where are you going to put money? Yesterday was a fascinating day and a day that I think all investors need to note, because as the markets dropped, it really hit almost every sector. I can only think of two sectors that were up, and it wasn't even the full sector. It was the gold price was up, but gold stocks were down and bonds were up. Other than that, everything else was getting hit. Anything that really caught your eye about that washout really in all the sectors?
It was just a sell everything kind of day. And we've had so many buy everything kind of days that you're going to have these sell everything. I mean, the top gainer in the top components of the index was the smallest loser. I mean, that happens. It's not, market's supposed to have days like this, folks. It's not supposed to go up every single day, every single week, every single month, every single quarter. That is not, I mean, that's just the way the markets are.
Yeah, fair enough. But again, it was one of those that if we do get some weakness, then everything is going lower. Quick comment then on big tech too, because big tech got hit yesterday. That is a major supporter for the markets. What do you think's going on with big tech? Do we need to be worried here?
Worried? No. I mean, one thing about big tech is what it showed was that during the pandemic, that's what let us out of it. So technology's here to stay. Or some of these issues that. Lofty valuations or, they're still trading at relatively low PEs to, some of these growth tech stocks. So, if you have an issue that survives in both kind of environments and led the market out of the, the pandemic, then, really, I don't want to say how can you go wrong, but, we're not going to go backwards in technology and moving forward, maybe they're not won't be the same kind of gains that you've had in the past, but there are leaders. They're the top five stocks. You've heard me say this 1,000 times. So 18% of the index, that is the market. So, or at least it's for the S&P 500. Now, if you want to worry, take a look at the IWM. I mean, the small caps that peaked in February has been a chop fest. So. You got to go where the money's going, and it's still going into tech.
All right, Joel, we're going to leave it there. Great chatting with you, buddy. And this week already off to a pretty interesting start. And now all we're waiting for is what the Fed has to say and the volatility that undoubtedly will come for the rest of this week. Joel, thanks as always for your time, buddy. I hope you have a great rest of your week. We'll chat again next week.
Thank you, Corey.